Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study video series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. I'm Daniel, this is Gary, and we are working our way through the book of Acts.
Yep, marching through Acts.
We're about a quarter of the way through now. This is, I think, week four.
Yep.
And we're going to do about 11. So,
yeah, so we're like halfway through chapter 8, and we go halfway through chapter 10, or maybe we go all the way through chapter 10.
In this one, yeah.
So last week we found out that, imagine this, the Sadducees were jealous. We never saw that before.
Yeah, right.
But they actually had a reason to be jealous. The church, right, the Christian church was growing, taking... not necessarily even people away, but certainly thoughts away and where they were going. And we also saw the church added deacons, right? Because they were growing so much, they needed that extra layer of management in there. And the first deacon, Stephen, he was killed because of his faith.
Yeah.
And that was the Sadducees retaliating, really, and going on.
Ends up being the first, as far as we know, the first Christian martyr.
Yeah.
Right? First person to die for his faith in Jesus, except for, of course, Jesus himself.
Yeah. And not that it was a good thing, but, man, that ending where he sees Jesus coming down is like, wow, you know, really, really amazing.
Yeah.
We also saw Paul, who was trying to destroy the church, actively trying to destroy the church.
Yep.
And then we ended on a high note. So everything was like bad, 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 right? But then we ended on a high note.
Yeah.
Samaria, that land kind of in between the two parts of Israel, was accepting the gospel, and Peter and John brought in the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot going on in there. Yeah, and it was kind of cool.
So we're picking up after Samaria, and Philip was actually the guy who sort of broke in there, but Peter had to authenticate it in a sense because Peter has the keys.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you brought up last week. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I was going to bring that up more. Yeah, you talked about the keys of the kingdom, and this was to the Gentiles.
Well, this is to the Samaritans.
Oh, that's true. They were half,
right? We haven't fully gotten to the Gentiles yet. Right. We'll see that in this week's reading.
Yeah, yeah.
But the account with Philip. Actually, this is really interesting because, you know, Peter's the main guy, right? But Philip sort of gets to carry chapter 8 for us.
Yeah.
Right? And how God does this is really cool.
Yeah. So an angel tells Philip, hey, go south on the road to Jerusalem, to Gaza. And, you know, the first thing you think about is, okay, if an angel stops you and says, go do something,
probably should do it.
Yeah, you're going to go, right? Right? So he went. And he met an Ethiopian eunuch on the road. He was a court official. So I picture it as very prestigious and what's going on and very elaborate.
Secretary of the Treasury.
Yeah. So he had
Treasury ministry.
Had some wealth. Mm-hmm. And he's reading the Old Testament. And he's reading the book of Isaiah.
Yep.
And he has questions.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
He had come up. It says he had come up to Jerusalem to worship. Now, here's a cool thing. And this isn't just this. This is even still true today. I've been to Ethiopia a couple of times. I've got friends in Ethiopia, and there is still a huge Jewish contingent there. A huge Jewish influence there.
Yeah,
right. And they love this passage.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
They
How can
love
you not?
This passage
because you're in the Bible.
I know. They came. Ethiopia is all over the Old Testament too, but it's possible. That depending on where this, you know, we talked about the timeline, you know, we don't know how far this is from Acts 2 or whatever.
Right.
This may be one of the guys who brought the gospel to Ethiopia.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's way cool.
How cool is that? Yeah.
So from my standpoint, I always try to bring it back to me, right? Not to me, but this age, our age, and what can we take out of this? Because so far it's like, oh, nice story, so what?
Right.
But check out Philip, though. Philip had studied Isaiah enough beforehand, so he came into this meeting prepared.
Yep.
You know, some guys just randomly reading scripture. Oh, it's the one I knew. Good. You know, that generally doesn't happen, right?
Right.
So we're assuming that, or I'm assuming that he knows, you know, the
You're always
the
afraid
Old
of
Testament.
The question. Can I ask you a question? Maybe.
Yeah.
You can ask. Yeah,
exactly. But he knew enough that he was able to walk the Ethiopian through the verses, which is part of always be ready, you know, in our world. And then Philip was ready, and he gave him a gospel message and baptized him, you know, right then. That's, you know, it's what we're called to do. He was handpicked for this mission. And he did what his job is.
I love verse 35 because you like to bring up 1 Peter 3:15, right? You know, always be ready to give an answer when somebody asks, right? I love verse 35 because it says that Philip started speaking, and beginning with this scripture, he proclaimed the good news.
Yeah.
Right. Now, it was a good one. I'll give you that. It was a good one. It's Isaiah 53. It's the, you know, but still, he started where the guy was and he got to the gospel.
Yeah, exactly. Did his best with limited amount to, you know, be there. Probably didn't know anything else about the guy, right? No other connections.
Right.
But hey, we have this verse.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We see Paul doing that a lot, and it's kind of cool that Philip did it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so then we get into chapter 9, and chapter 9 is the conversion of Saul.
Yep.
So Saul is still trying to destroy the church, and he is actively trying to destroy the church. He goes to the high priest to get a letter, so really he can arrest any Christian that he wants to. You know, says get out of jail free card type of thing. And I think you had said before, not only arrest, but really do whatever he wants to, up to and including
kill him if he has to, right? And let's not forget that he's going out of country as well. So this is like an official.
Yes, this is not Jerusalem anymore.
No, he's going north out of the country. He's passing through Lebanon, going up into Syria. If you're thinking of a modern day map, that's where he's headed. So this is a big deal.
So he approaches Damascus, and I think all of us have read this part before, right? But it's still so cool. A light from heaven flashes around, and he gets to have a conversation with Jesus.
Gets to. know?
He might have had a choice. you know, why are you persecuting me?
Right.
And I'll let you read the rest of it. You know, take your time with it, as always. It's cool. And the other thing that's cool is, I mean, Saul was blinded for 3 days.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what Jesus was trying to do, but certainly knocked him off of where he was.
Yeah.
Right? And would have made him, he had no choice but to rely on other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally and metaphorically, right? Knocked him off his horse, literally. And then knocked him off his high horse.
Right.
You know, figuratively. Right. And then now for 3 days... he's sitting in this house.
Yeah, on Straight Street.
Yeah, right.
Which is like the level of detail that just gets thrown in there. I love that.
I think that Luke threw it in there so that people could like go back really, and prove the veracity of the story. I mean, this is where he was.
Right.
Right. So was he in a Christian's house? Was he in a Jew's house? You know, just another Jewish, you know, person's house? Where was he exactly when he was parked for 3 days?
Oh.
And how many people knew?
Well, was it an Ananias?
Well, Ananias.
Or that came later.
Yeah, Ananias came in later. Okay. God told Ananias, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Go to the house on Straight Street. Go to this house. You will find.
I always assumed it was his house. No, but yeah, you're right. Yeah,
because he's like, I'm not.
Well, exactly. So you have.
Have you heard of him?
So you have a Christian, right?
Right. And,
you know, okay, Jesus is telling you to go. Yes. And he pushes back.
Yeah.
Right? But it was okay.
Yeah.
Right? And plus. I'm sure it was a hard thing. Wait, have you heard? And of course, Jesus heard. Right. Said, he's my instrument. Yeah, I don't think the second pushback would have been too much. But it was like pretty awesome. So you have this guy who actually has a letter to kill and is actively doing it, wanting to do it. And now all of a sudden, he's one of us.
He's got a change in orders.
Yeah.
Because his new orders are... you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to stand in front of kings. You're going to stand in front of Gentiles. In fact, you're going to be my mouthpiece to the Gentile world.
Right. So I have no problem with there being a trust issue, right? We'll see the apostles. We'll see other people.
Yeah.
There should be.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If, you know, Saul comes through, I'm one of you guys now. You're a spy. I mean,
right.
That's right. Exactly.
But what I really think is interesting is the church is going to take a while and, you know, no problem. And as Saul starts to preach the word, the Jews flip on him.
Yeah.
I mean, way quick.
Yep.
Right? And they start to understand, and they tried to kill him in Damascus. So it's not like he even left where he was. It was right away.
Yeah.
And then in Jerusalem, they tried to kill him again.
Yep.
Chapter 9, verse 29. He was speaking and debating with the Greek-speaking Jews. Mm-hmm. I mean, that part's great, comma. But they were trying to kill him.
Yep.
You know, and so then the brothers, the other apostles, understood what was happening. Hey, we got to get this guy out. We got to get him safe. So they sent him to Tarsus, right? So why there?
That's his hometown. So Tarsus is in, if you think of modern day Turkey, along sort of a coastal area on the north side of the Mediterranean Sea, not too far from what we know as Galatia. And it's possible, and there's still a little bit of flexibility here, but it's possible that he hung out there for about 10 years.
Like here? Like during like this time? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. For about a 10 years. You stop hearing about him for a little bit until Barnabas comes and finds him. During that time, he's doing ministry, you know, for I think almost 10 years. I think that's probably when he starts the Galatian churches. In some of that area. He's doing some church planting. He's doing some ministry. He's completely out of the picture as far as...
It's far enough away from Jerusalem.
As far as Jerusalem's concerned, as far as the Jews are concerned, whatever. He's out of the picture. He's, you know, doing whatever he's doing.
And he's also fairly close to Antioch, which will be big in his life. Which is going to be big. Here in a minute.
Right. But, yep.
Or a chapter.
So my guess, you know, other than the you know, stand before kings or whatever... It might be that he thinks he's fulfilling his ministry at this point. You know, the church doesn't want me. Nobody wants me. Everybody's out to kill me. So I'm just going to go back home and do my ministry here.
Do my thing.
In Gentile world.
So he obviously came from a Jewish household.
Yep.
Assuming he went home. You know, it seems like he went home for one of two reasons. One, for safety. Or the second reason, I got to tell this to my family.
Yeah.
You know, what happened.
Yep.
So, you know, kind of interesting from that standpoint.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So that part of Saul ends for a while.
Yeah.
Right. And now we move on to the end of chapter 9. Peter brings Dorcas back from the dead in Joppa.
Yeah.
But it's it's like Yappa, right?
Well, there's no J. In Hebrew and Greek, but yeah.
Yeah. So I had this marked down as a big deal. Because I always assume everybody who's not from Jerusalem is Gentile. So I did look up on a map, realize that Joppa is in Israel.
Yeah.
So it's probably still a Jewish descent, Jewish Persian.
Probably. Joppa's right down on the
Mediterranean
coast. Yeah. Yeah, it's a coastal town down there, southern Israel. Yep.
Yeah. So then we get to chapter 10. Now we actually get into the Gentiles. So it's Peter visiting Cornelius, and I really like this section and what's going on here. And I find a lot of humor in the Bible sometimes. And this is one of those sections, right? Because you got an angel going to Cornelius and saying, "Hey, go send some people to pick up Peter."
Yep.
You got an angel talking to Peter saying, "Hey, some guys are going to come."
Yep.
And so the guys come. Peter goes with them, and then these two finally meet up, and it's like, you know, what's going on? Because we do have a Jew and a Gentile, and then we know one of them, or Cornelius, just like, well, tell me what you got to tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what do I need to hear?
Why
did you bring me here?
But Cornelius is a centurion, so he's a high enough ranking soldier. He's got 100 men underneath him.
Right.
Okay, so Peter has been summoned to the house of a Gentile Roman official, military official.
Right.
And an angel told him to go.
Right. So trust in God.
Yeah.
Right? Things could easily end badly.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the backstory, right?
Yep.
Because in order for Peter to get to the point where he's going to obey even an angel and go to a Gentile's house, it's like, I'm not sure I heard you right, you know? Yeah. God had to do this work in him. So he gave him a vision.
Yep.
Right? And in Peter's up on the housetop, he's suntanning. And, you know, up on, you know,
As he
does, right? You know, he's out on the porch, and you know, God gives him this vision,
right.
And there's the sheet comes down from heaven, and all this these animals in it, right? All kinds, right?
Right.
And the voice from heaven says, "Kill and eat anything." You know,
right? Right.
And he does this repeatedly because his response is, "There are unclean animals in there."
Yeah.
I've never done that. I would never break your law, which gives us insight into where the apostles are still thinking that they're living under the Mosaic law, even in Acts chapter 10.
Right. Right.
And so God's response is, when I call something clean, you don't get to call it unclean anymore. Right now, this is really interesting because in Matthew 15, Jesus had already dropped some breadcrumbs saying, it's not what goes in that makes you unclean, right? It's the food itself isn't unclean. They still hadn't wrapped their minds around that. So here we are in Acts chapter 10.
And Peter's like, no, it's what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, right? Because it's your heart, right?
Yeah.
So God says, I've called it clean. You don't get to call it unclean.
So I always took this to be, you can eat any food you want.
Mm-hmm.
He took this differently.
Yeah.
Right? So how did he take it?
Well, he took it as, well, maybe Gentiles aren't unclean anymore.
Right.
I think it's both.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but I go there from the food standpoint,
yep.
And now, you know, there's why Christians can eat, you know, any food.
Yeah.
Versus... Christianity is open to everyone.
Yeah. So you've got two things going on.
You've got
there is definitely the food thing. God is showing them we're not using that old law system anymore.
Right.
Okay. They hadn't really gotten there yet. But the second thing is that in the system, Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world, Peter's opened Jerusalem. He's opened Samaria. But the Gentile world still hasn't been opened to the gospel yet by Peter.
Right.
So who did God send to the Gentiles to preach the gospel and receive the Holy Spirit? Had to be Peter.
Yeah.
And at that, when he was done, when he'd finished that, and they believed and they received the Holy Spirit right then, Peter's work of opening was done. And now that's why we see this transition into this huge Gentile ministry that didn't happen until after Acts chapter 10.
Right. So then we would also say after that, because it was open when somebody received Christ, the Holy Spirit came in at that point in time. Versus what we had seen before was John and Paul had to come up to give them the Holy Spirit.
Peter had to be there, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Peter had to be there.
So it was Peter and John
there.
And then in Samaria, something similar, and now we see
Peter again. He was there in all three times.
Right.
And now his work was, that part of his work was finished.
Right, so we see, well, so we know, and you had said it's unlawful for the Jews to associate or even visit with a Gentile.
Yeah.
And God showed him that it was okay, and he was there for a couple of days, so it's also assuming that he was eating with a Gentile, which again, both things were covered with the food coming down and being unclean.
Yep.
Peter led the gospel message, led Cornelius's house, who were uncircumcised,
right?
Which is, you know, another big thing there.
Yep.
And they started speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Which would have been an indication to the Jews that the Holy Spirit was there.
Yep.
Right? Huge.
Yep.
Huge there. And it was also, well, I guess it was right there during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily afterwards.
Yep. And it was, they were amazed. It says that they were amazed. So Peter's like, we can't withhold baptism, water baptism, can we? So he's the very next step.
Right. So then there is baptized.
Yep.
Yeah. So very interesting, right? The Holy Spirit came on before baptism. So the way we're teaching is two separate events, salvation, then baptism.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Very neat. So a lot going on in here.
Yeah.
And a lot deeper than you think.
Yeah.
I never had gotten the key. Well, I understood the keys of the kingdom. Well, let's see. I understood the words that he was given, the keys to the kingdom. I'd never put together the three steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. And it's good. You know, each time you go through this, you learn more and you learn deeper. And there's generally some unlearning to do and some relearning to do too.
Yeah. Well, it's a really interesting, I mean, really, really interesting a part of scripture.
Yeah, section. Right? Yeah, so, definitely.
I'm sure you may have questions or comments, things that you, insights that you said, well, why didn't you talk about that? This is so good. Send those in, you know, let us know. We love to hear about that stuff. And we'll just keep moving through. Next time we will pick up in chapter 11. But until then, love to have your questions, comments. Share this with your friends and family. Glad for everybody who listens and takes part in this. And we'll see you back here next time.
Bye, everybody.